I want you to think this morning. Do you understand that you're a sinner? You understand that you're guilty before God? You understand the wages of sin is death? You understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He died to purchase a salvation for you. Do you believe it? In Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think this is interesting. It's written by, of course, David, the shepherd king. And we know David went down with the sling and took on Goliath. We know that David before that had said that he took a lamb out of the paw of the lion and the mouth of the bear and had delivered them. God had placed him in a few different situations. The shepherds in Israel are over the countryside, and there was a man who gave tours. And he always loved to talk about how the shepherds live with the sheep, stay with the sheep, and how the sheep confidently trust the shepherd for everything. And they came down by a pasture, a field, and he wanted to see a flock of sheep and kind of tell his story. And he started to tell the story of the shepherd and the sheep. And everybody in the bus, they pulled over to the side, and they're looking into the field. And there's the shepherd, and there's the sheep. And the shepherd is out in the field. And he's chasing the sheep around. And he's kind of being mean to them. And he's yelling. And the guy is so disturbed. He gets off his bus and he walks out there to have a word with that shepherd who's not behaving very much like a shepherd. Oh, hey, I love to tell the story, and I got a tour bus and all these people, and here you are over here with these sheep and you're just treating them horrible. The guy says, ho, what do you think I am, a shepherd? He goes, yeah. He said, I'm the butcher. Whole different thing, right? When we look at this and we see in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some people think, I'm not going to want for anything. I'm going to have everything I ever wanted or hoped for. And it's not what it is saying here. It's talking about you will not go without with the Lord as your shepherd. He has taken care of everything. Well, look, and he says he takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of the animals. He feeds the young lions. He takes care of everything in nature, and he takes care of the people, too. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed of the Lord begging bread. The Lord is my shepherd. He will supply my needs, not necessarily my extravagances or my luxuries. I'm not going to go without because He is a good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. He's not the butcher. He's the good shepherd. He's given his life for his sheep. Referring to, of course, the cross of Calvary, the shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep. For a good man, some would dare to die. But God, He commended His love toward us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep, not just a sacrifice, but a salvation. He's the shepherd who purchased our salvation. Looking in verse 2, it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. A couple of things that sheep need. I was reading about a pastor in the middle of a big desert spot in Israel. And it's green all year long. There's some kind of a spring under the ground. And there's a little knoll or a hill that you can get up and you can see most of it. And the Bedouins in that season bring all their sheep in. I say, one morning you'll wake up and it'll be nothing but green. And then another day you'll see and a certain type of flower will start to bloom and it'll be yellow. Another day, there'll be a little tiny violets, and it has a cast of blue. Another time, it's a crimson color. And then it's just a verdant and bright emerald green. Just beautiful. And the fact that it is a well-watered place with plenty of grass. In the middle of a dry and hard time for the other places, but it's well watered by an internal spring. The Lord's my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He brings me to a place of being fed. I want you to know right here, a place of being fed, a place that has never run dry and has more than anyone can eat. And feeding sheep, have to be careful to move the sheep from pasture to pasture because the sheep will eat all the way to the ground and then they'll eat the roots too. And if they are allowed to overgraze an area, there will be no grass there next year. It'll just be a dry, dirty, dusty spot because they'll eat everything. So they have to be moved from pasture to pasture. Here, He leads me in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep are timid animals. They're not incredibly brave, and they're not incredibly bright. When they come up to a place and they're going to drink, they can smell the water. And they start getting excited if they're thirsty. They get down there to that water, and sometimes those sheep on the very front will stop to get a drink of water, and the sheep in the back will just keep coming. Now, if there's a swift-running creek or water, they're not great swimmers either. And when they're covered with a lot of wool, they'll get in the water, and it sucks up the water, and the sheep will sink like a rock. They have a natural and a good instinctive fear of rushing water. And here, the shepherd leads. He leads in beside the still waters. He leads where it's not that deep. Now the water is still running water, but it's not rushing and it's not a rapid sound. It's not frightful to the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's also the gentle shepherd. In Isaiah 40 it says, and He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in, with his arms, and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall lead, or gently lead those that are with young. The several things there, he's gonna feed. He's gonna take care of those needs. He's going to gather. He's gonna gather the flock together, but he's gonna gather up the lambs in his arms. I want you to know that if you are young, a baby, or a struggling Christian, that the Good Shepherd has special care for you. And he's specially attentive to your prayer. He's especially interested in your progress. And others might look at you and go, oh, that's nothing. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not. He's the gentle shepherd. He's going to gather the lambs and carry them. And shall gently lead those that are with young. Sometimes, most of the time, there's more to any person than meets the eye. And you can't see some of the burdens that people are carrying. I was listening to a thing about Wounded Warriors this week, and they said, the wounds are invisible, but the stories are very real. People go through traumatic situations, difficult times. They go through things that put scars on them, that change them, their personality. Here's those that are with young and can't see necessarily that they're with young, but the gentle shepherd knows and he leads them gently. I never stopped thinking about the thing Mr. Lindsay said, be nice to everybody because everybody's had a rough time. It's so true. Everyone has had a difficulty. Everyone has had a problem. Everyone has... circumstances that have changed them. Sometimes we're just too busy, not with the good shepherd, the gentle shepherd, and saying, I'm going to lead gently. We say, suck it up, buttercup. Then when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And sometimes there's a lamb that needs to get gathered up and carried in your bosom. Sometimes you might have to see the shepherd's example and bear one another's burdens. In Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We'll look at the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Now we're looking at the good shepherd who is also giving living water. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. She said, oh, I wish that you had something to draw with because I would like to have some of that water. She didn't understand yet, but she did later. The water that he was giving was salvation. In verse 3, the scripture says, he restoreth my soul. I mentioned in Sunday school that some folks will sin and not have confession. They won't deal with it. They won't come to an altar. They won't repent. And they'll carry that sin for the rest of their life. And they'll lose the fellowship they could have had with God. He restores my soul. He initiates and instigates. He, this chastisement, He wants to draw me nearer to Him. He wants to take anything that is between my soul and the Savior, between my soul and the Shepherd, and wants to get it out of the way. I am positive that God answers prayer, and I'm positive that God continues answering sometimes when we're done hearing it. I'm certain that He goes through every life like a mom helping her daughter go through the closet and saying, oh, we got to get rid of this. But it's not the mom, it's the Savior. Going, oh, you should get rid of that. Oh, you should confess that. Oh, this is interrupting your closer walk with me. And so many times, it's not that we're seeking clean hands and a pure heart. We're not seeking to dwell with God in His pavilion. We're not seeking the intimate fellowship with our Savior. We're happy to have relationship, be the Son of God, and sometimes we live like a shame, like a beggar. We live like we don't even have a shepherd. Every once in a while, when my daughters were younger, my wife would go somewhere and leave me home, and I would do their hair. I'd get them dressed. And Jackie would come home and look at them and go, poor girls, it looks like they don't have a mother. They look like they're orphans or something. I did my best. Sometimes we live like we don't have a Savior who wants to cleanse us, who wants to forgive us, who wants to bring us closer to Him. He restores my soul. Second thing, I just hate this. I believe a lot of people in their experience of Christianity, the day that they receive Christ is the very best day of their whole life. I think that's a good starting point, but we should not know Him best on that day. We should begin to know Him on that day. We should know Him best on the nearest day to today. Because our Christian life is supposed to be an incline and a search for higher ground. And as He works on us and scrubs on us and cleans on us, and as we submit and as we obey and as we follow and as we love Him, we have a deeper and closer fellowship. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? You might have a longer answer than you want to hear. You all know I like the saying, I left some room for improvement. You might be surprised how big that room is. What does He want from you? What does He want with you? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's going to lead you to times and opportunities and places where you can do righteousness or doing what is right, following the things that you understand, following the things that you have learned. It's not the times where we don't know what was right or what was wrong that really trip us up. Why do you think theologians would spend 100 years arguing over how many angels would fit on the head of a needle? I'll tell you, because there's no conviction in that argument. There's no soul searching. There's no turning the spotlight on me. We can look at the needle forever and think about the angels dancing on the head of it. Boy, that'll be delightful. won't have to shine the light back on my life and say, God, what do you want to change about me? What do you want to do with me? You know what kind of progress is made with that stuff. I see a lot of people dig into the Bible and they want to find something fascinating. They want to find something entertaining. I want to say, when you dig into the Bible, roll up your sleeves. Put on your work gloves. Because He's working on you. You're His workmanship. And He has some good works foreordained for you that you're to walk in. He's going to restore your soul. He's going to lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12, it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." A lot of times you'll hear people talk about how they were seeking for God. The truth of the matter is there's none that seeketh God. There's none that doeth right. No, not one. He seeks us. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. He found me in a church. I wasn't found just because I was in a church. I was found because the Savior was looking for me. I was in a church and I was lost. And I wasn't looking for God. He was looking for me. He came to seek me out. And I'll tell you this. God came into the garden. Adam and Eve were hiding themselves, wearing their new fig leaves. And they weren't seeking for God. They were scared to death God was going to show up. We hide in our sin and He seeks us out. We have a dark and a cloudy day and He seeks us out. He seeks us out as the shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. In verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I was used a lot of different ways, and a lot of people talk about it. And some people say, well, here I am, and I'm not going to fear even my own death. Sometimes a shadow of death is referred to the death of a relative or a friend. I want you to know what was going on in the life of David. The shepherd is, King Saul was chasing him with about 3,000 men two different times. And if he could have got a hold of him, he would have killed him. Now, in both of those circumstances, David felt secure in God. And he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And I want you to know this. If you continue with the Psalms, you'll see that David was way more comfortable with Saul chasing him with 3,000 men intent on killing him in the wilderness than he was many nights in the palace of the king. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Death casts its shadow on all of us. As is appointed, a man wants to die after this judgment. Every single one of us has stood by a grave and looked at a stone and recognized the name In 1 Corinthians 15:55, the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you can face death, and your sins are forgiven, and your Savior is sure, you're wearing the helmet of salvation, you can look at the grave, and you can look at death, and you can understand the blessing and the joy of having a certainty, a sureness, a confidence going into eternity. I think about this, not talking, of course, about the death of David himself, because it says he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you, I know, have been touched deeply by the death of a family member, by the death of a child. We have a shepherd who cares about us, who recognizes our affliction and our agony, who rushes to our aid to help us and to secure us, who provides us with help. He understands. And when I look over a crowd of different ages, of different people, of men, of women, of children, of boys and girls, every heart's affection is a bit different. And some are so many miles apart. But the Savior, the Good Shepherd, the Gentle Shepherd, the Restoring Shepherd, the protecting shepherd, he cares, he understands, and he has the right answer for you. And he has a sufficiency to each moment. There's not a moment that's bigger than the shepherd. He's not overwhelmed. He hasn't turned and ran ever. He's never been defeated, and he never will. And even when death and hell came to visit him, he overcame them and took the keys. Hallelujah, what a shepherd. In verse 5 it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. As I studied this and looked at it, I thought of several things. I settled on one thing I wanted to discuss. I don't want to discuss a buffet or a feast of bounty. I wanted to discuss where Jesus met with his 12 disciples on the night before he was betrayed. And he took the cup and he said, This is the New Testament, my blood. And he took the bread and he broke it and he said, This is my body which is broken for you. Hey, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. His body was broken, his blood was shed, and salvation was purchased, and the devil was defeated. And we can live a life of continuing victory as we have a defeated foe. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. David was anointed 2 times. Samuel went down to see all of Jesse's sons. And he anointed David. Now, David was God's anointed and God's chosen. And as respect, he would not touch Saul, who was also God's anointed. David was later accepted by the Israelites as king, and they anointed him again. Here we look at this. I see, thou anointest my head with oil. Every believer in Jesus Christ, everyone who has received the atoning sacrifice, who the blood of Calvary has covered their sin, they are anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I always like to have a cup that is very full. Mrs. Bobby, sometimes it's so full that I'm not steady enough to carry it without spilling it. And it runs over. But that's not really the cup we're talking about here. The cup is our life and our vessel, our person. And it says, my cup runneth over. Now, our cups will run over many times. If I'm carrying a cup of coffee and Zane comes and runs into me, what am I going to spill? Why am I going to spill coffee? Now, if I was carrying a cup of tea and Zane come and ran into me, I wouldn't spill coffee, would I? Things are going to happen in your life that are going to expose what's inside. And what's inside is going to come out. No. Why is all this happening? Well, you're carrying a cup of anger. Are you carrying a cup of love? Are you carrying a cup of joy? What is going to spill out if some circumstance causes you to stumble? Out of the abundance of the heart a man speaketh. Here I have the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I have the Good Shepherd. And what is my cup going to run over with? It should be the joy and the goodness and the love of God. But you know what's inside your vessel. There's some here today who are putting on all the appearances of a well-kept life, but inside they know if the cup gets, it's empty. There's nothing in it. If they needed to give someone a drink, it's empty. There's nothing in it. This is a good place to get your cup filled up again. This is a good place to stop and remember, think about our Savior. This is a good place to come in fellowship. This is a good place to come and be encouraged. In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, everyone can't make this as a blanket promise and a claim. And usually when you see someone looking at Psalms 23, they try to claim this for every person in the world. You have to go back to verse 1 and the Lord's your shepherd. You have to have had the living water. You have to have had the atoning sacrifice. You have to have had His body and His blood broken. You have to have salvation. And then we look at it and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I never say once saved, always saved, because I haven't found it in the Bible yet. But I do say eternal life and everlasting life because I found it many, many times. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. I am kept by the power of God. It's not because I'm so special or so great that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. It's because I have a special and a great shepherd. And it's part of the inheritance that he has acquired for me. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy. It says, and I shall dwell in the house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I want you to think this morning. Do you understand that you're a sinner? Do you understand that you're guilty before God? Do you understand the wages of sin is death? Do you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He died to purchase a salvation for you. Do you believe it? Not do you believe in it, do you believe on it? Do you throw your life and yourself at the feet of the Savior and place your confidence and trust in Him? Do you give yourself to God? Everybody believes in Christ. Everybody doesn't believe in the Savior. Will you confess your sins? Call upon the name of the Lord, asking Him for salvation. God, I know I'm a sinner. I understand that Christ died on the cross to purchase salvation and offer a gift of salvation for me. Lord, will you take me? Anyone that's come to God, He is in no wise cast out. What a shepherd. What a Savior. Thanks be to God. Let's all stand.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.